Let's stand together. We're going to read Psalm 23, and we're going to remind ourselves who it is that we depend on. We're going to remind ourselves who it is that provides and who it is that our Master is. So I'm going to, it's going to be on the screen. Let's just read it from the screen on this one. Psalm 23, this is from the NRSV version. I want us to read this together, boldly as a declaration from our church family. Are we ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to read this word together here boldly and openly. Lord, thank you for these people in this room. Thank you for those who are watching us from different places in the world. Thank you, Lord, for giving us family that we can call friends, we can call brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to center and to focus in on what it is you have for us today. Lord, we know you have a word, and I pray that you would speak that word through me, and that the message would be much more memorable than the messenger today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to listen, to have hearts that are ready to receive. Help us to not leave here the same, but to be different. Change us. Continue to transform us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's July 4th weekend. If I'm too loud, you can turn me down a little bit, Timo. Now, the moment we think of this idea of freedom, what goes through your mind? Now, for me, let me go back a little bit. Here we go. For me, I think of July fireworks, brightly colored fireworks, American flags waving in the breeze. Think of apple pie, maybe a baseball game going on as we're getting ready for the barbecue to be finished. You know, I think of things that we're able to do that other people in the world aren't really able to experience. Those things that make us American. Sometimes I think of soldiers, as you do, who have died on foreign soil. Some of us have known soldiers who have died to secure our freedom. I think of crosses covering French beaches. Think of a group of men and women who so bravely colonized this great land so long ago. The things they had to endure to get us to where we are today. But we also know the freedom that we experience as Americans is not something that was given to us. It was something we had to take. We had to declare it, you know, after our forefathers, after they declared independence from Britain. Now, without that declaration, we would not have been able to be the free nation that we are. Today, we're going to start a conversation on this idea of freedom. We're going to look a little bit deeper at the word freedom. What does it mean? What does freedom mean for the follower of Jesus Christ? If you remember, our overall theme this year is discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, this series is going to explore this theme, and it's going to look at what and how freedom affects us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Of course, you can't really talk about freedom until you talk about slavery. Can we? We know about slavery in America. We know what it did to us. And we still feel the effects of that sin on our great nation. Even though the Civil War helped free millions of slaves, they never fully experienced that type of freedom that was given to the white man. It was only after the persistence of Martin Luther King, men and women like that, these leaders did some very brave things that the door opened wider. We know the damage that slavery can do and the price that we paid to get rid of it. And for many of us, slavery is a thing of the past. Of course, for many people in the world today, slavery is still very much an active part of their present. Did you know that there are currently 35.8 million slaves in the world today? 35.8 million slaves. That's 10% of, a little bit less than 10% of American population. And I'll just break it down for you real quick. I found this graphic, and let me break it down for you. These are the types of slaves that we have. Domestic labor slaves. These are people who are promised a job as a maid or a servant, and somehow they are forced to stay. We have forced laborers. These are people who are actually forced to do manual labor, hard labor. We have bonded laborers. These are people who have to pay back a debt. And they say, well, until you can pay back a debt, you've got to work for me. Some of us might think that's a pretty good idea if you're a business owner. But these people have got to work to pay off their debt. And for some of them, the debt is unimaginable. We have forced marriages. So these are girls between the ages of 10 and, you know, however old they are. But they are forced to marry someone against their will. It is not of their consent. I'm sorry, the second one, it's not supposed to be forced marriage. It's supposed to be child labor up at the top. Child labor, in Haiti, they still practice slavery. And granted, it's frowned upon. They try to free some of these kids, but there are so many orphans in Haiti. And what'll happen is you know where they are. They're at the dump. They're at these other places fighting to survive. You go there and you promise them, listen, I'll give you food and water and you can be my slave. You can be my servant. And what are they going to say? A lot of times they are just taken. So we have children who grow up in a family. They are not a child of that family. They are simply a servant. They get a little bit of food, no education, and that's how they live their life. Then you have sex trafficking. This occurs on most every nation on the entire planet. I don't know how many of you are paying attention to the Super Bowl recently here in Arlington, but they had a huge sting operation and found that, yes, it's going on right here in our very city. They were able to free quite a bunch of those slaves. There is still slavery. It still happens. There are people who will never know freedom their entire life like we do. And I know this may be foreign to us, and I know we see the news reports and we read the articles and we cry whenever we see those statistics, but it still seems a little distant to us. I know that. Seems distant to me too. So let me bring you some, maybe give you an example that's more close to home. There is a business that has just gotten noticed by several I would say government agencies, local governments here and there. It's a business that has been noticed, and it has been noticed because the things that they do puts people into slavery each and every day. It has storefronts. We walk by them. We drive by them. Some of us go in willingly. Do you know what that is? Any idea? Have you seen these? Payday loans, cash advance, titles for cash. And I know we look at that and we go, boy, I'd never do that. And I know you probably think, if you're dumb enough to do that, then oh well. Okay, the organization promises quick money to people who need it between pay periods. You need $500, then they'll give you $500, just pay it back by the next pay period, and everything will be okay. But what happens is, if they know you need money between now and the next pay period, will you really be able to pay this off by next pay period? If you've gotten yourself into that mess, will you really be able to pay back that $500? They're banking on no. So credit card interest rates are between 12 and 30%. How much of a percentage rate do you think a payday loan is? Someone give me some ideas. How much? Just shout it out. What is that? 30, no. Keep going. 35, no. Keep going up a little higher. 75, that's really, really good, yeah? 720% APR. I am not making this up. There was a man who needed 5 payday loans. He needed to get his rent paid for. He needed to have some money for medical care. He needed to have money to pay his light bill. $2,500. You know how much he's having to owe? $50,000 in interest. I am not making this up. In the land of the free, the home of the brave, there are slaves that walk among us. These people... My voice may get high here in a second because it kind of I'm passionate about this. These people do nothing but take advantage of the poor and needy. They see a sucker and they exploit it and milk it. There are 3 of these in Grapevine. 3 of these. Slave, there's no better than slave owners. I'm sorry if you work there, but if you do, get out. Not of here, of there. This is where you need to be. It's disgusting. And I'll tell you, when you understand slavery, you will understand the importance of freedom. We were born free. We've never had to suffer through any other way, most of us. And I think for me, I take it for granted. And so the question I have for us today as we look deeper at this idea of freedom is, have you ever been a slave to something? It's a trick question. Yes, I will say yes, you have. Of course, you just may not know it yet. Everybody open your book to the Bible, to the book of Galatians, or your phones. Turn your phones to Galatians. We're going to be in chapter 1 and then chapter 5. Paul has something to say about freedom. So Galatians, let me give you a little background. Galatians are a group of Gauls. The Gauls are the majority of people. Now, the Gauls are Northern Europe. They're Celtic, Gaelic a little bit. They're Gauls. In fact, they were powerful at one point. They were amazing fighters, but Rome conquered them. And they conquered them in such a way that they wanted to completely humiliate them. So they actually had several statues that were erected that showed a Gaul in a state of eternal surrender and humiliation. And for a Gaul, you had a great past. You used to be something. This is awful. And that's how you grow up, knowing this is your place now. Several Gauls were slaves, but the Gauls knew what it meant to be slaves. They knew what it meant to be conquered. And if you think about it, did you know that most of his letters were written to conquered people? These are people who used to be a member of another country other than Rome, because Rome was the one who conquered the world practically. So Paul's mission was to a lot of conquered peoples. Now the Galatians are a group of Christ followers, their disciples, they're brand new. You know, this is one of the first letters that Paul wrote, Galatians here. So the gospel is still very new to these people. Paul came to these people, he told them the gospel, and they believed. They were excited about the word of God, about Jesus Christ. But then Paul, he hears that some Jews have come in, and they're trying to tell them that they need to live like a Jew in order to fully be right with God and experience pure freedom. And some of the Galatians, they start to believe them. And it upsets Paul. Paul's mad. These are his babies. And so he writes them a letter. And in fact, the first several verses, first several chapters, Paul lets them have it. So let's start with chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first few verses here. He's telling them why he should be listened to and what he's talking about. Verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle. If you could do this for me while I read. He says this, Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, typically after this, he'll say something nice and he'll encourage them. He says some nice things to ease into a letter, but he does not do that here. In verse 6, he says this, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." How are they deserting the gospel? Well, see, some of the Jews, they were telling them that they needed to become fully Jewish here, following the laws, following, all of the things that a Jew needed to do to be considered righteous and pure. And some of these Galatians were beginning to believe, but that's not what Paul had told them. That's not the gospel that he sent to them. Paul's message surrounded faith in Jesus Christ, which expressed itself through love. But some of these people were saying, yes, I know Jesus is the Messiah. I know he died and rose again. But honestly, I don't know if that's enough. Jesus, not enough. Can you imagine what Paul is hearing here? What was enough? Becoming Jewish. Observing all the laws. Being subject to their way of life. And so some of these people were beginning to believe this and to preach it, and Paul would have none of it. So skip over to chapter 5 real quick, and this is what Paul says. He kind of gets to the meat and the heart of his letter here. Go 5 at the beginning, verse 1. He says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, Paul is reminding them here of one important thing. Jesus Christ has set them free. He has set them free. Now, what kind of freedom is he talking about? Is he talking about political freedom? No. If it were political freedom, it would have been temporary. Political freedom is not enough. Political freedom in the grand scheme of things is temporary, and it does not truly free us from slavery. We were a free country for how many years with slavery? And as free as we are in America, we still have people who are enslaved to many, many things. Addictions, our jobs, our phones, just say it, our desires, our biases, our freedom to choose has enslaved us. Paul's talking about spiritual freedom here. Christ has set us free from spiritual oppression. The need to be perfect. The need to get it right. To please God enough so maybe he'll invite us to the table. Maybe if we do the right things or if we act the right way, maybe he'll love us. Maybe he'll be proud of us. You know, these people, they had to do shameful things to please the gods that they followed. Paul is offering a way out of that. You don't have to do shameful things anymore to get God's attention. Spiritual freedom. Because, you know, Paul goes right to slavery here because these people knew what it meant to be a slave. There were slaves all around them at that time. Man, imagine being a slave to the world. If you're a slave to the world, that means you have to do what the world does. You have to follow the traditions and the trends. And if you start following what the world does and you get in that stream, you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be. So Paul showed them the gospel through Jesus Christ. And he gave them the way to join the family of God without being a slave to anything oppressive, because it's all through Jesus Christ. And some of the Jews, they were a little irritated. They're saying, hey, that's not fair. They're not like us. They're not Jews. You know, they didn't earn it like we did. They can't just come in and expect to be treated like the rest of us until they become like us. Many of these Jews depended on their Jewishness, that was going to save them, get them right with the family of God. And Paul knows this. Why? Because he's a Jew. He knows what it means to be a Jew, to be in that system. So he addresses the main issue here. You know what the main issue was? Circumcision. And he says this in chapter 5, verse 2. He says this, listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, if you try to go the way of the Jew and try to do everything that they want you to do so that you can be think that you're being fully right with God by embracing fully this Jewish lifestyle. He says, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourself off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working itself through love. The word of the Lord. This is important here. Now you can replace the word circumcision with lots of things today in our church culture. And I've seen it all. This is important. Paul was so angry here because these people were about to trade in their freedom and become slaves to something that would never be able to save them. Let me bring this closer to home here. I know some people are saying to themselves, it's not me. I know that it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about faith. But let me ask you this. What else are you depending on right now to get you right with God? What else are you depending on to get you right with God? Maybe it's how much you know. Maybe you're thinking, you know, if I just knew more scripture, I'd be in. If I knew the Bible better, maybe if our church would start studying the Bible, maybe we'd be able to get God's attention. Maybe he'd start blessing us and helping us and loving us. If that's the way you think, then you know what? You may not be free. Maybe you're depending on how good you are. Maybe you don't really do anything bad. You're pretty clean. You give here and there, and in some moments you think, you know, I'm not as bad as that guy or that guy, and whoo, I'm better. I know I'm better than him. I have to admit, I've been there. If you're depending on the fact that you're not as bad as that guy, you might be a slave still. And maybe you're a fantastic Christian. Maybe you give freely and openly. You serve, you participate, you're always at church when the doors open and you tell people what they need to do and why they need to do it. And sometimes you think, it may be fleeting, but you think to yourself, oh, this church would just collapse if I weren't here. I know it's probably not you. If you think your presence and your participation will somehow earn you a spot at the table, then you may not be free either. Let me leave you with just a few things here. The question is, are you slave to something? Maybe a better question is this, are you free? Has something gotten a hold of you? Are you a slave to your pride, to your addiction, to your self-righteousness? Maybe you're a slave to something right now, to your passion, to your desires? It could be something as simple as a habit that keeps you from fully experiencing freedom in Christ. Ask yourself this question, am I free? And the second thing is, what are you depending on? Where do you put your faith and your trust? And I know we want to say God and we want to say Jesus, but let's be honest. Is it your bank account? Is Brexit just really doing things to your mind right now? You're afraid and frightened because your future security is out the window. Maybe your faith is not in Jesus. Maybe your faith is in something else. question is, are you dependent on something other than Jesus Christ? This is a hard question, y'all. I've been asking myself this question, and it is not easy to answer. Are you looking to something else to satisfy you, to get you into God's grace? Are you depending on anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified to find eternal life, to find satisfaction? If you're depending on anything other than Jesus Christ, you're still acting as if you're a slave. The truth is, Jesus came to bring freedom, and the freedom He brought didn't mean independence. The declaration we made to England was that we wanted out. It was irreconcilable differences. Freedom from oppression, freedom from tyranny. We wanted independence, but the freedom Jesus came to bring was not independence, but it was dependence. The freedom we experience here in America, we took that, yes. But Christian freedom is not something that can be grasped. It is something that has to be received. You have to receive it. So what if today, as a group of believers, we declared our dependence on God, saying boldly that we will depend on Him to save us, to provide for us, to redeem us, to forgive us, to give us things that we need, to provide for our daily life, to give us justice, to give us hope and a future, opportunities to serve, to change the world, to help each other. Could we do that? Maybe we declare our independence from sin and from the world, and we declare our dependence to God. And I think if we did that, we would find that not only have we been freed already from a life of slavery, but we're also becoming free to live as a child of God. We don't just have to go, whew. We get to become children of God through this dependence on Him. The freedom, it's already been bought. It's been bought through the blood and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the question I have is, will you receive it? Let's all stand together. I'm going to give us a moment to respond here. Everybody stand together. Don't waste this moment. Bow your heads, close your eyes, however you want to do it. I'm going to give you a moment to respond here. Ask yourself, am I free? Or am I depending on something other than God to save me or to give me what I need? Are we relying on anything else other than Jesus Christ to give us satisfaction, to fulfill the things that we think we want and need? Why not declare your dependence on God right now, today, where you are? Are you still acting as if you're a slave? It was for freedom that Christ came to set us free. Did you know you could receive freedom today? It's not something to be taken. You have to receive it. Freedom through Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave to your addictions or to worldly things. You don't have to follow the culture. You could choose Christ. You could leave your life of slavery and you'll find you aren't free from sin, but you're free to live life as a child of God. Church family, we have a responsibility because there are slaves all around us and some may be sitting right next to us. How will we help them? How will we help people see that the life God has for us is freedom? How will you respond?